It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. This morning we visit an artist coop in Greensboro, Pennsylvania. This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:44. I'm Teresa Wills. Greensboro is a small town in southern Pennsylvania, just across the West Virginia border. It sits on the banks of the Monongahela River, surrounded by small hills and patches of trees. Over the years, the town has weathered boom and bust of a pottery industry, river trade, and coal. Lately, it's been more bust than boom. But now, some artists are trying to stimulate the local economy using what they know best, creativity. Our Folklife reporter, Caitlin Tan, visited the Greensboro Art Cooperative to find out more.
Walking down the streets of Greensboro, it feels a bit like a ghost town. There are houses, business signs, a post office, but only two cars drive by in 10 minutes and no one is walking the streets. But the quiet atmosphere abruptly changes when I walk into the former ice cream parlor turned music shop. The entire room is filled with artwork and antiques. There's a stone chair shaped like a hand, porcelain dolls lining the bookcases, and a boar's head hanging near the ceiling. Live music fills the room. That's Shane McManus and his friends Nico Kreider and Evan Collins playing an impromptu jam. It's an old-time Appalachian tune called Waterbound. The music shop is one of the three buildings that are part of the Greensboro Art Cooperative, a nonprofit art collective that's organized by McManus. He's a West Virginia native who spent his life immersed in music and arts. Now at 31 years old, McManus is trying to use his love of the arts to revive the town.
Our goal is to preserve the past but promote the future. And so through using what the past has given us and lent us, then we can create really beautiful art and also a sense of community and pride in our small Appalachian towns, which in my opinion is really diminishing.
The co-op not only provides a space for artists to sell their work, but it's a space for them to create. There's a wood shop, a bike shop, pottery room, music room, painting area. Anything an artist wants to do, there's likely a tool for it. Members pay a $200 lifetime membership or the equivalent in labor, and profits from wares made at the co-op are split 50-50 with the artist. McManus says the goal is for the co-op to be a centerpiece for Greensboro, where the population is down to 249 people. He wants the co-op to be a reason for people to come visit and a reason for people to stay.
Getting them to see hope where there was none, and that's why people leave to find greener pastures.
Greensboro was once a thriving town with a rich artisan history, and it was originally settled by German glassblowers in the 1700s. It's also right on the Monongahela River, so it was part of a major river trading route. Greensboro's mayor, Katie Sills, says she's heard stories of the early days when a hotel stood right by the river.
At one point, you know, a circus came down the river and they had an elephant in the lobby of the hotel. So it was a fairly booming and bustling town.
In the 1800s, the first large-scale pottery operation opened up in Greensboro. The wet, muddy soil near the river creates rich clay perfect for pottery.
A lot of these New Geneva or Greensboro pots that you'll see on like Antiques Roadshow that go for $30,000, $40,000, they were made right here.
In fact, it's not rare to find 200-year-old pottery today. The co-op has preserved an original kiln used by settlers. But as artisans moved away and trade moved away from rivers, Greensboro became less relevant. It made a slight comeback in the coal industry in the mid-1900s, but Sill says that too has disappeared.
Some buildings have kind of fallen into disrepair or been torn down. There are not really many businesses left in the town.
And in some ways, Greensboro is not that different than many small Appalachian towns, where the coal industry that was once a driving force of economies is now declining. And so this leaves many towns without a sustainable economy, much like Greensboro. This is something that Tim Ezel studies. He's a research scientist at the University of Kentucky, and he focuses on asset-based development. Here's how he explains it.
Using the assets you have at hand or at your disposal, what your community already has in place, your local talents, your local resources, your local skills, your local art, your local heritage, and using those to create economic opportunities for people in your community.
Ezel says concepts like the co-op can grow a town, but it has to be done realistically. As in, it's not cheap, it can take many years, it needs momentum, and most importantly, the local community has to be accepting of change.
Change is hard, and you have to be willing to accept change in order to move forward. We have some communities that can't change, and because of that, they aren't going anywhere.
And Mayor Sill says the town is ready for that change.
We're all really hopeful that we'll get that next wave of whatever that wave would be, you know, something new to bring a little bit of bustle into the town. I don't know if it's ever going to be quite the same, but each phase has been different.
And the co-op is relying on local assets to try to bring about that next wave. Members are fixing up old storefronts to use as studios. They're using local clay to create art, and they're using local tools.
Everything is donation. All of our resources have been found, donated, upcycled, and recycled. So it's really amazing what you can put together just with what you find around.
As for operational costs, McManus has been quite fortunate. His father, Keith McManus, has funded most of the co-op. Keith was the former mayor of the town, and he's something of a musical legend in the region because of his involvement in the old-time music community over the years. People can be assets too, and in many ways, Keith himself is one of the town's greatest resources. Because of the financial cushion and Keith's arts and music connections, Shane says there's not a push for artists to mass produce or to even sell their work, but rather just focus on creating art.
Our goal is to stay within a tri-county, if not a tri-state area. We don't really want to branch out in terms of what we sell too much farther than that, like on the internet and things like that. We've purposely kind of withheld that for a long time just to kind of keep our wares locally.
Over the past 8 years, the co-op has renovated Greensboro's old abandoned theater into a studio space. And it has 65 members, some from the Appalachian region and others from across the world. Connections McManus has made through work in the music and arts industry. He says the co-op has given some of these artists a reason to either stay or come back to create in Appalachia.
So many of my peers and friends that have had to go and move out of the state, out of Appalachia, where they're from, just to find a studio.
So artists come and go throughout the year, whether it's for an impromptu jam, to fix their bicycle, or to make their next piece of pottery. And when they come, Mayor Sill says,
they breathe just that little bit of extra life into the town when they're there.
The future goal for the co-op is for artists to work and live there. But right now it's not fully developed. The studio spaces are a little rough around the edges, and the storefront is still more of a working space. McManus hopes to renovate two buildings into a coffee shop and restaurant. But he says it takes time. It takes time to create change, to bring Greensboro's artisan history forward into the modern day. And it also takes a vision, like the ability to find strengths and assets in unlikely places.
Well, I'm going back when I love, I'm going back when I love, I'm going back when I love, back in West Virginia. Stay all night, don't go home, stay all night, don't go home, stay all night, don't go home, stay with me till morning.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Caitlin Tan in Greensboro, Pennsylvania.
This story is part of an upcoming episode of Inside Appalachia that airs Sunday and on the latest Inside Appalachia podcast. The episode explores how our cultural traditions change over time and evolve as they get passed from person to person. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:52. Areas of fog this morning, becoming partly sunny with a chance of rain and thunderstorms, highs in the 80s, partly cloudy tonight with lows in the 60s. Tomorrow, partly sunny, chance of rain and thunderstorms, highs in the 80s. On Sunday, variable cloudiness, still a chance of rain and thunderstorms, highs in the 80s.
Thank you.
The Devil Makes Three has built a fervent following with their no-holds-barred live performances. Graveyard, included here from their Mountain Stage set earlier this month, is a fan favorite from the band's 2002 self-titled debut album. It's also our Song of the Week.
I wanna tell you a story. Ain't got no characters in it but me. I wanna sing you a sad song. Most of it I don't expect you to believe. Starts off just a whiskey and wine, on some miles of travel and some real good times. But it ends in a dark corridor where there ain't no and there ain't no doors. Yeah, that's me. Drinking off that bottle, drifting out to sea. Yeah, that's me.
That was The Devil Makes Three performing Graveyard live on Mountain Stage. To hear this and more, tune in Friday and Saturday nights at 8, right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Caitlin Tan, Jessica Lilly, Kara Lofton, Liz McCormick, Dave Mistich, Brittany Patterson, Eric Douglas, Corey Nollinger, and Roxy Todd. Our news director is Jesse Wright. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.